Genesis 39. It's back to Joseph, and now for the rest of the book, Joseph will be a prominent central figure, not that others won't be there as well. Joseph now is after chapter 38, where we looked at the sordid deeds of Judah. We come back to Joseph, verse 1, Genesis 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had he put in his hand. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." He refused. And said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me, and he fled and went outside." How hard would it be to figure out how much of that is true? Verse 16, "So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside.' So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' then his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look unto anything that was under Joseph's hand, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper." Lord, this is a great testimony, Joseph, and a great testimony to your faithfulness to him. And, Lord, the witness that is great to give to the world. And we, of course, want to learn from Judah and from Simeon and Levi and Reuben and all the others. But, Lord, really to mimic Joseph would be quite a blessing to us. And we pray it. And, Lord, it's such a rare thing. And I pray, Lord, that we would be instructed by his life in Jesus' name. Amen. Clint Eastwood has a movie, I think 1966, The Good, the Clint Eastwood was the good. Lee Van Cleef was the bad. And Eli Wallach was the ugly. And if we think about Jacob's family, we've seen the bad and we've seen the ugly. And now it's time to look at the good. And Joseph is that good. He stands in stark contrast to his brothers, to every one of them. Whatever blessing from God they had, the fact that their father Jacob was a patriarch, all the things that they knew from God's revelation to them through the patriarchs, they just didn't get it. We just saw Judah in chapter 38 visiting a harlot. Simeon Levi murdered a bunch of people. Reuben slept with his father's concubine. Joseph, completely different. He's a good man. And we know already he had revelatory dreams. He dreamed things that he knew to be predictive. That his brothers would bow down to him. And that his parents would as well. And he was so excited about that, that he told them the dreams. And it's not a sin. He was excited. Maybe he lacked some, wisdom as to be tactful in this. He was 17 and younger maybe when he had the dreams. And maybe he should have thought about, my brothers won't want to hear this. But he was excited. He saw it as meaning that God was going to do something great with him. And he did. But when he told his brothers that, they hated him, along with his father's favor of him. He made him a coat of many colors. He favored him with that. So Joseph also brought a bad report to his father about his brothers. He was hated so much they could not even be in the same room with him. They couldn't think of him and say anything about him without it being angry and hateful. So when they had a chance, they saw him coming, sent by his father to find out how they were doing. They dumped him in a pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites, who carried him down into Egypt. And we see that in the latter part of chapter 37, and also here in the first part of chapter 39. He's been sold into slavery into Egypt. Joseph really is a type of our Lord Jesus. Not in a redemptive sense, but in the fact that Joseph suffered from the sins of others. Joseph, all kinds of things are happening to him. He's suffering without it being his own fault. A lot of people think on the charismatic and Pentecostal areas, especially charismatic, all across many denominations believe that, if you're sick, it's your fault. You should do something about it. That God wants you well. That God wants you rich. That God wants, you to have a big car. The health and wealth gospel, or the name it, claim it, or the word faith and all that. And so whenever you suffer, some people will say that is a sign that God has anger towards you because of your sin. Well, it's not so. Joseph has not sinned. He's a sinner, but he's not shown any kind of sinfulness whereby these things are falling upon him. What did I do wrong, people might say, that I'm in this circumstance? Well, you might have done something wrong, but it's no test of whether you're righteous or not. If you have trials, everybody does. And Joseph had them. Not as a punishment from God, but as discipline or training. The Lord chastens those he loves. And Joseph, by the Lord's design, was disciplined, trained, taught through the things that he suffered. It's said of our Lord that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered in that. I mean, he was already perfect. So Joseph also is an example of how God's ways are way above ours. Any one of us, we would like to think, would try to rescue Joseph from the situation he was in. Throw him in the pit, we'll get him out. False accusation, I got a video of that. I can show you, Potiphar, what happened, if we had it. But we were powerless and nobody else knew. And the thing about we see in Scripture is that God does have the power and he does not deliver Joseph. God did know about Joseph being alive. When the brothers were lying to their father about him being dead, the Lord did not tell Jacob about it. We find in Scripture, in many places, that the Lord is not the typical hero type that we see in the movies. They'll save you if they can. The Lord can and doesn't. And that calls for faith on our part. It shows us that God's ways are above ours, and that what God does, having all power, he chooses to do according to his own will. Now here in Genesis 39, he comes into the land of Egypt and he's sold to Potiphar, who is, we're told, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. So he lands a job in among those who are in the higher levels of the government there. Not government as we know it, but in the royal family and in those who serve the royal family, the Pharaoh's request or the Pharaoh's appointment. So one thing we're told about Joseph from the beginning and throughout is that the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. In every case, the Lord is with Joseph. Well, if the Lord's with Joseph, what's he doing as a slave in Egypt? Well, because the Lord is with Joseph. That is how the Lord is manifesting that he is with Joseph. He is doing something with Joseph where Joseph is. He's right now in Potiphar's house. And he's such a he's in such favor with God that when he does something in the house of Pharaoh, of Potiphar, that it is so blessed that it is noticed. Verse 4, his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And then Potiphar made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. So with Joseph being faithful to the Lord and the Lord being with him and being of good character, every person over him, it starts here with Potiphar, it goes into the prison, and it goes all the way to Pharaoh. Everyone who is over him puts him in charge and then doesn't even concern themselves with how it's going. Don't check on him. You think if you went to a lot of members of Congress and you'd say, well, I want to leave you in charge of this, and we trust you so much, we're not even going to check up on you. What would happen to that money? Joseph is a rare, good person. He is trustworthy. So if he gets responsibility over the goods of the house, he doesn't even worry about it. He doesn't, not concerned. My neighbor had a yard man years ago and looked out the back window and saw him helping himself to a bunch of tools out of her shed back there. Really, unless you really trust somebody, you got to watch all the time. You don't never know what's going to happen. So here he is, and once he is known by Potiphar, he just gives him everything. Overseer of the house, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And he saw that. This young man walks in and everything turns to gold. Everything in the field grows. Everything in the house runs well. Everything is right. And so he doesn't concern himself at all with the day-to-day aspects of his house. And that's a great ease of mind for anybody who puts somebody in charge of their belongings and can trust him. But Joseph had a curse that we men have here. It's noted in verse 6. Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Well, that's a curse, isn't it, guys? And so he was a handsome man and also very wise and trustworthy. And now overseer, he's got a position that's above all in the house. And it came to pass, verse 7, after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." She's a shy, subtle type, isn't she? She cast her eyes, and she being the wife of Potiphar, she feels like she can make a bold request, and she said, "You know, lie with me." And he refused. And said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand." So, there's no one greater in his house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And there is Joseph's position laid out. First, that he owes allegiance and service to his master, Potiphar. That Potiphar has entrusted him with his house, and he should not betray that. And that he has only withheld you from me, he says, because you're his wife. And so when he sums it up, he says, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it would cover both the wickedness of betrayal of Potiphar, who has trusted him with his house as overseer. And what he would do would also be a sin against God. And that's his position. I'm not going to lie with you because of those two very fundamental, weighty reasons. And she did not care. Verse 10. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. The sense we get is that once she fastened her eyes on him, she had them fastened for the rest of her time. Every day, lie with him. This is called in the world of young men a great opportunity. This is called, wow, what good fortune. And it'd be sad to say how many young men would go for what she requests and feel good about it. Not Joseph. Joseph not only resisted her the first time and laid out the reasons, he resisted her every time. Each and every occasion. And she is not gaining what she says she wants to gain. Verse 11. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. The Bible says flee fornication, and he's fleeing that, adultery. So once she caught him, grabbed him by the garment, and Joseph has a history of getting in trouble because of his garments. The coat of many colors, this garment, he just leaves in her hand and takes off. He gets physically out of her sight. And whether she set this up or not, we don't know. No memory in the house. Could it have been that way? And so there she is with his garment. Now what do you do? What is this kind of woman going to do? Is she going to say, go back to him and say, you left your garment here, but I'm still going to try. I'm still going to try to convince you. No, she's embarrassed and ashamed now. She's been rejected. She's Potiphar's wife. She is the wife of the captain of the guard. When she says, lie with me, they should do it. She's lusting. And so verse 13 says, it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them not one true word, saying, see, he has brought to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. What a noble woman this woman is. This Hebrew slave came in, tried to rape her in her own house, and she cried out, and he left his garment and took off. Jake Tapper, CNN reporter. And so she holds on to the garment. Verse 15, it happened when he, it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside, and so she kept it until his master came home. I mean, she sat there and she says, no man would ever turn away from an invitation that I would give. So I'm going to hold this thing, and I'm going to make sure that the people know that I am a faithful wife. So the master comes home. Verse 17, she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. You know, she's not even blaming herself for anything. She's blaming her husband for buying the Hebrew slave, the one you brought into the house to mock. He came in to mock me. So what happens, I lift my voice and cried out because I am so faithful to you that he left his garment with me and fled outside. Now, if anyone knew about this woman, it should be Potiphar. And I would think that knowing her, he might want to weigh it up a little bit and wonder if this is really what happened, because he also knows Joseph. And Joseph he knows to be a very faithful man whom the Lord is with and who is blessing everything in his house. So it would not be out of line for Potiphar to say, wait a minute here. I know what kind of woman you are. I bet this didn't happen exactly that way. But he never does. Because the Lord is doing something. And if he thought it, he didn't want to challenge that because there were no witnesses. So it was, verse 19, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused, which means he believed her. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Now, should he be there? No. Maybe the Potiphar's wife should. I could see that happening if he had known the truth. But there Joseph is in the prison. And we see the same thing happening that happened before. But first note that this is the royal prison. It says in verse 20, this is a place where the king's prisoners were confined. You got your regular old run-of-the-mill drunks down at the other jail. Other crimes down there. This doesn't have to be a serious crime. This is where the king keeps his prisoners, and the captain of the guard, Potiphar, would have access to commit Joseph to that prison. But it's the king's prison. You see what that means? Because now, anybody who is sent to that prison comes from Pharaoh or from a high official. And that means that Joseph is now in a place where he has contact with Pharaoh indirectly. verse 21, we see the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hand, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So, again, we see the very same thing. Joseph is such a noble character. He is such a faithful servant. He is skilled in what he does, trustworthy. He is not out for himself. He is out to serve the one whom he is a servant of. He's under Potiphar. He serves Potiphar. He does everything Potiphar would like to see done to increase Potiphar's wealth. And everything worked out. When he's in the prison, it's a different level of leader, but the keeper of the prison, the warden, sees that Joseph is of very high quality, very faithful, skilled, and he leaves everything in his hands. And again, we see the same thing, that he doesn't have to watch him. The Bible tells us that servants are to be working in the fear of the Lord and not as men pleasers. You know, men pleasers, just when your eye is on, when they're being looked at, they'll work. And when they're not, they may goof off. So they're motivated by the eyes of the master, or the employer, or the boss. The Bible says, as Christians, we're to work unto the Lord, not as men pleasers, not when their eyes upon us, but whenever we work. So Joseph did that. And then you didn't have to watch him. Joseph, go do this. And one of the greatest compliments you can be paid as an employee is to be given a job and just no other thought to it. You go get it done. It's not a problem. Go ahead and do it. Take care of it. And that means you're trustworthy until you prove otherwise. And Joseph was constantly trustworthy, constantly blessed, even in prison. Now, prison is this would be more like a, you know, high-class prison as far as the personnel goes. It doesn't mean the prison was nice. We don't anything about that. You know, some prisons today for white-collar criminals is a little bit like a country club or some such. It could have been it's still confinement, even if it was nice, but it probably wasn't a very nice prison. Prison's prison. And these people are in there for things that are considered to be something that made Pharaoh angry. And we'll see in the next chapter, when we get to that he's angry at a butler and a baker, and, you know, only one of them gets out of there. So it's a bad place. It's not, you know, Alcatraz and all, but it puts him in a position where, in the Lord's hands, now when God is ready, there is Joseph right there where the hands of power reach. Now, we see all this now. But if we put ourselves in Joseph's place, he had no idea what was going on. The Lord was with him. The Lord blessed him, that was clear. He was still faithful to the Lord, that was clear. He was not going to sin against God, that was clear. When do you think Joseph thought he would get out of prison when he went in? Well, he'd just been accused of trying to lie with Potiphar's wife. How long will that get you? I mean, I don't see anything about a trial here. Did you see anything about a trial? Did you see anybody like a public defender come along and say, I'm going to represent you, son, don't you worry, we'll get you off on this, we'll get you out on bail? Nothing like that. Nothing there like that. The people in power say, go to jail, you go to jail. That's all. I like to, my one phone call, you don't get a phone call. Nothing. As far as Joseph is concerned, as far as we can tell here, there's no sentence. There's no time. He's just there until he's not there. And if he's of benefit to the keeper of the prison, I don't see the keeper of the prison putting a good word in for him to get out. He's there. As far as we know, as far as he knows, he's there. Now we're told, if you can forget this when we get there, I'll tell you what chapter 41 verse 1 says, that it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So he was in the prison for 2+ years. For what? Walking into the house to do his job, being accosted by a wicked woman, full of lust, and then falsely accused in prison. 2 years. Plus whatever happened before. So he's got to trust in the Lord. And it's all he's got, really, because, there, like I said, there's no defender, no lawyers, there's no law about you can only hold me until so long. There's nothing about evidence has to be there. There's nothing about innocent until proven guilty. I doubt he was read his Miranda rights. There was nothing but go to jail. Go directly to jail. 2 full years. And yet the Lord blessed him. And that, again, is a very high level of the Lord's work that we just can't really grasp that God would do that. Because we just wouldn't do it. But God is, and he's doing it for a purpose. And we'll soon see what that purpose is. Any thoughts or comments you have?